10 now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's Talk of the Town. Today is the Thursday Roundtable. Talk of the Town is sponsored by Barrett Propane, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, A&E Reaper Graphics, Prescott Dirt, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now let's open up the mics. Here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
Well, how's it going, everybody? We're glad to have you along here on this Thursday, and I know that you're probably shocked and surprised that we're going to be talking about education today. And why not? With the teacher walkout this afternoon and what the Prescott School District has had to do in order to accommodate the kids. And generally speaking, they avoided a full closure by creating a negotiated settlement, if you will, where the they kind of worked like a snow schedule, where the kids were on 2-hour delay today, and they'll be on an early release tomorrow. And for those of you that have been out and about, you know that the Red for Ed folks are generally in very visible places along main thoroughfares, letting you know about their issues. Well, there's been a couple of different potential solutions to this problem. And one of the people that has been working on it is our very own representative, Noel Campbell, and he will join us momentarily live here in the studio. And a few minutes down the road, we're going to be talking with Marty Reed. She's the assistant superintendent for the Prescott School District. We were going to have Joe Howard on today, but Joe is sicker than a dog. I talked to him a little earlier, and he's just like, the voice is not there, but Marty Reed will sit in for a few minutes and update us on what's going on with the Prescott School District. And then after the news, we're going to get an interesting perspective on this whole issue from a former local school superintendent. Gary Spiker is going to join us live here in the studio on the phone, actually. He's not only run public schools, you know, your regular school, but also charter schools. He's been, you know, in the Humboldt School District. I think he was down in Buckeye for a while. And I'm sure Gary has an interesting perspective on where we are and what we need to do to fix this problem. So we've got a lot to do, and you should have an education by the time you're done here on Talk of the Town, KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and on the web at KQNA.com. Representative Noel Campbell live in studio right after this. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. After a very dry winter, this year's fire season could be more dangerous than normal. As a former hotshot, I'd like to share some tips on being prepared if you have a propane tank. Know how to shut off your propane tank, and in the event of a wildfire, do so, if safe, if you must evacuate your home. Clear a 10-foot area around your tank and remove any combustibles that can easily ignite. And remember, never store your barbecue cylinders indoors or in an enclosed area. You can find more fire preparation safety tips at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 White Spar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
Are you looking for the right product at the right price with outstanding customer service? A&E Reaper Graphics brings it all together with a variety of printing that includes banners, business cards, and so much more. A&E Reaper Graphics will get you the best products at the best price, all with our 100% customer satisfaction guaranteed. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals. Someone asked me how people would know from our name that we sell a huge variety of food for pets and barnyard animals. I thought for a little bit and said, the food we sell is just part of what we do. And although we have an incredible amount of high-quality pet foods, feed for barnyard animals and the wild birds, the resulting health of your animals is our main reason for being, our mission. That's why we call ourselves Olson's for Healthy Animals. When you walk into Olson's, you should know that you're not just going to get food, but also the confidence that what you purchase will be healthy for your pet or barnyard buddy. We've been doing this for 38 years in North Central Arizona with our stores in Chino, Prescott, Dewey, Flagstaff, and Clarkdale. We'll also take your purchase out to your vehicle, and we welcome special orders. We're Olson's for Healthy Animals. The health of your animals is our mission. Go to olsonsfamily.com for the location of the Olson's store nearest you.
Chance to win a free lunch at Prescott Brewing Company? Just check our website or follow us on Facebook to find out this week's lucky lunch letters. We draw them every Friday, and if the letters we draw match your first and last name initials, yay, you win a free lunch the following Tuesday. Or find out the old-fashioned way. Just pick up the phone and call us at 771-2795. Prescott Brewing Company, your small town feel with a big world taste in the heart of downtown Prescott.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
Well, funding education is on the minds of everyone today here in Arizona due to the teacher walkouts and other things that have taken place. And Representative Noel Campbell, who's been on the front line of what's going on in the legislature regarding education funding, joins me now here in studio. Okay, so first thing we have to do, Noel, is we have to... I've got like three numbers that I need answers to.
Right.
So let's start with the first one, and that is there is already in place a sales tax that funds education.
Yes, that's Prop 301, and that's 0.6% of a penny, or 0.6 of a penny. That expires in 2020. That brings in $600 million. Every tenth of a penny is about $100 million. And that money, it's not enough. It's not enough to go to the teacher salaries. It's not enough to improve the schools. It's not enough to fund all-day kindergarten if you wanted to do that in the district. It's certainly not enough to help our JTEDs and expand our technical training. And it's not enough to help the students at our universities reduce the tuition cost. As you know, the Constitution specifies that tuition shall be nearly as free as possible for those students that are in our university. So that amount of money that we have, and that's what this is all about, it's just not enough. And it isn't enough. It really isn't.
Okay, now, amount number two is the Prop 301 money that the that the people voted in. Now, this is that. Is that the six-tenths of a cent
that
sales
is,
tax?
See, because in 2020, that has to be renewed or it sunsets. And if the voters tried to add to that amount, maybe up to a full penny, and they voted it down, that total amount would be gone. So that 0.6 that has now been in the system for years would evaporate. So what the legislature did, it protected that 0.6% indefinitely. So no matter what the voters do, there's going to be 0.6% into the school funding.
Even if the 2020 thing doesn't happen.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, the last pot of money is the $400 million dollars that Governor Ducey announced was going to be set aside for education. Now, what's the status of that?
Yeah, well, that's really, he's setting aside that money for teacher salaries. That's what he's calling it. And he's getting that. It's over a three-year period. The economy's doing better. We're having higher sales tax revenue. He swept $80 million from the state budget for departments, the one-time sweep. So it's not a permanent cut. But he found $80 million that he swept from other agencies, but not from the HERF fund this time, because there's no sweep from HERF. But he found $80 million. There's a highway safety fee bill that just got passed that protects the HERF and funds the highway patrol. That's going to have a little extra money in there, and he'll probably use factoring that into – these are all projections, by the way.
Right.
He'll use that amount. Plus, the economy doing better. We're growing at 4% or 4.5%. Well, actually, this year we're getting about 5% growth. So they're projecting these high growth rates over the next 3 years to come up with this money. That's the issue in the legislature. The legislature doesn't feel that you should use these high projection rates, because if something goes wrong, it just compounds everything and we're shortfalling ourselves. It took us 10 years to get out of this budget shortfall, this hole we had dug ourselves in when Napolitano was governor. We're a balanced budget. You know, they can't get any better than that. I mean, we're running this thing like a business and on that cost. So the legislature is a little apprehensive about using a rosy scenario to project revenue coming in.
But we still don't own our buildings yet.
No, there's debt. And part of that is to pay. How are we going to pay down the debt that we owe? And we're financing that debt. But at least we're on an actuarially sound footing with the debt. Sure. So the state legislature, its budgeting process is very good. I sit through this thing. I mean, you'd understand it better if you were an accountant. But as a layperson, we go through it. And we know that whatever we're spending right now, we have more coming in. And this is how the projected is to get teachers' salaries up.
Now, what are you hearing from your constituents or from other people at the legislature regarding the way in which the teachers are going about campaigning for the pay increases?
Well, I can easily understand why they're doing it. I mean, they're underpaid. They're the lowest paid in the country. But our outcomes are right in the middle. We're 25th in outcomes. So there's an argument that money in education doesn't determine the outcomes. But I believe, and that's why I made my proposal, which I'll go into in a little bit, that teachers need a 20% raise. And so they got this way. It got to this point by frustration. And that's what moves the legislature. Nothing wakes up a legislator better than having 40,000 constituents on the Capitol Mall. I mean, it's amazing how focused it makes everybody.
Now, there is an argument that while the teachers want to see the salaries be more in line with the national average, that's what their goal is.
Right.
But Arizona, as far as its cost of living is concerned, is nowhere near the national average.
And we talk about that all the time. The Democrats don't talk about that at all. I mean, they want us on the same salary scale they have in New York. I mean, they want as much money as they can possibly get. But we understand that. But we know that they do need a raise. They haven't had any income coming in 10 years. So we know that. There's not a legislator down there, Republican or Democrat, that knows that we need to get more money into teacher salaries and into the schools themselves. But the legislature is not in the business of setting teacher salaries. We are in the business of providing revenue to school districts, and the school districts make those choices about how much they pay and who they pay. And the school boards are supposed to be on top of that. And in the past, that's not in the present right now. It's not happening. The school boards, I don't really think, are on top of the school finances, and they really need to get more involved, because we're going to put a lot of money into these school districts. And when I say we don't set salaries, for example, down in Mason, Tempe, they pay their teachers very well. And so we wouldn't want to give the well-paid teachers a 20% on top of what they're already making. We'll leave that up to the school districts and let them decide. And for that decision to be good, the school boards have to really stop being rubber stamps. They've got to start getting involved, as we do in the legislature, into the budgetary process for the schools.
Now, you have a proposal that will would increase that 0.6 cent to a full penny.
Right.
What's the impact of that? First of all, what's the impact of your proposing it as far as what kind of feedback are you getting?
Right.
And then what would be the financial impact on education if that were approved?
Okay. So right now, we're stopgapping it. We're going to propose this money on a three-year basis, and we dole it out, and maybe it'll be there in 3 years. We don't know. And it's more than teacher salaries. It's the schools themselves, the equipment, the needs that each school district has. And so I've thought about this a long time, and I wanted a proposal. I wanted to try to solve this problem with a bridge of 3 years. This is a temporary deal. 3 years will get us into 2020, where the voters of this state can make that decision if they want to tax themselves more than 0.6 cents. So my proposal is we raise the sales tax by 1% or 1 penny, and now the schools are getting $1 billion extra a year for 3 years. That solves all of the financial problems of the schools. It solves the problems of all day or full day kindergarten for those districts that want it. There are a lot of districts that have half day. They can't afford to do full day, but they want to do that. It will give them the money to do that, and it will fund the technical education, the JTEDs, give them more leg up. We need that in this state. We have jobs that can't be filled because we don't have the kids that have the technical ability to do it. And the last thing is to give our students at our universities a break on their tuition, but they have to be legal residents of this state to qualify for that. So it's a comprehensive, a big shot at solving this problem for 3 years while we in the legislature and the people of Arizona figure out how you want to fund education in this state. The way we're doing it now, we're going to give the money to the school districts so hopefully they raise their teacher salaries, but that's about all they're going to get. Okay, there's just enough money to do that, but it doesn't take care of the other three needs that we talked about. I'm getting a lot of blowback. I mean, you can imagine. What kind of Republican am I? Am I conservative? You know, I am conservative, and I believe in education. You know, I tell everybody, I support homeschooling. I support parochial education. I support public charter schools. I support whatever works. But our public schools take in 85% of the kids. They have to have, they have 14% of their kids are special needs, and that eats up 25% of their budget. The public schools are underfunded, and I'm not going to lie about that, and I'm going to tell the truth as I see it. And so I've made this proposal, and it's in writing, and it's the only thing out there in writing. And if you don't like it, come up with a better proposal. Come up with a different idea. But I will say this about my Democratic friends in the legislature. They talk a great talk about education. They talk about how they want to support education, and they love my idea. They love it to a point that how do you fund it? And when I say it has to be the sales tax, they say, oh, we can't do that. We can't. It taxes poor people. Well, you can't get the revenue from these different groups without a lot of pushback. And in a short amount of time, the fastest way to do it is to have a sales tax for 3 years. But we can't do that. Well, you say you love kids. You say you run around with your forehead stamped with schools on it all the time. And so the Democrats are talking out both sides of the mouth down there at the legislature. So I don't know where this is going. Probably not going to happen. But you know what? I put my ideas in writing. And if anybody's unhappy with them, let them respond in writing or come up with a better idea.
Now, educationally speaking, do you think that the demonstration by the teachers mm-hmm. is something that will now become kind of like the way to go? So they be emulated yeah. by police and fire right. and hospital yeah. workers and you know the kind of people that when they walk out, mm-hmm. it's not like you can go down the street right. and go to the other right. Public safety yeah. or the other school. You're basically right. they're basically right. have kind of a monopoly on yeah, the on right. the situation.
Well, yeah, and it's against the law for them public workers to strike, and they could face cancellation of their teaching certificates, but that's not going to happen. This is such a broad movement all over the state. It's sad that it had to come to this, but it's done the desired thing, which is get the legislature and the governor really humping on this. And I don't even know what to say.
Let's put it this way. You can't have mob rule unless yeah. you have a mob, to start with. Let's take a quick break more with Representative Noel Campbell live on KQ&A, AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and on the web at KQ&A.com.
Did it again. Cliff Castle Casino has been voted the number one casino in Arizona for 19 years in a row. All casinos have slot machines and table games. What they don't have is the level of commitment to guest satisfaction, friendly team members, and a warm and welcoming environment found at Cliff Castle Casino. Visit CliffCastleCasinoHotel.com today and plan your visit. Come and experience everything we have to offer and see why Cliff Castle Casino is number one and the perfect place to play.
Money back from Gettles? Listen up, because this is a cool deal. Earn up to $1,700 in possible rebates with Gettles, the premier Lennox dealer in northern Arizona. The guys and gals at Gettles can help you put cash in your pocket with huge spring savings on a new central AC system. So call now to schedule your free in-home evaluation. 928-772-2751 or visit GettlesHDM.com. That's G-O-E-T-T-L-S. Don't settle. Get Gettles.
Guess what? It's plantin' time, and Prescott Dirt is the best place to get your planter's mix. Hi, this is Sam from Prescott Dirt. Nothing's more fun than getting down in the dirt and planting your flowers or veggies in deep, dark, rich topsoil. Prescott Dirt's topsoil is dug locally from Willow Lake, and our planter's mix is both topsoil and mulch. What a great combination. Have fun playing in the dirt and making things grow. You can visit either of our locations, Prescott or Prescott Valley, or on the web at PrescottDirt.com.
How many Augie's locations are there worldwide? Well, the answer, of course, is one. The one and only Augie's. Locally owned, locally operated, locally inspired by you, the people of the Quad Cities. Delicious steak, scrumptious salmon, huge shrimp cocktail, the best martinis bar none. Open every day for lunch and dinner, and ask about Augie's outdoor patio. The place to dine on Highway 69. The one and only Augie's Frontier Village.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And back live for a few more minutes with Representative Noel Campbell talking about education funding. The sales tax proposal and the way in which the sales tax creates the pool of money for the school districts. Now, back in Michigan, where I'm originally from, I mean, I've been here 33 years, mm-hmm. but back in Michigan, they got their money from property taxes.
Right.
And since most of the schools are used by local people,
right.
Why isn't that being considered a funding alternative?
Well, it's because we have very poor counties. We have very wealthy counties in Maricopa and Pima. And schools get their funding from three different sources. They get money from the state legislature, they get property tax, and they get federal grants. But each school district gets different amounts. The tax base in, say, La Paz County, very low. And they don't have the ability to do the overrides that we do here in Prescott. We did a bond and override. They can't do that there. So this is why it's so important. And that's why the Rural Counties Association of Educators has supported this bill. I got a letter from these guys the other day because poor funding of education really impacts our rural schools more than any other schools. The wealthy schools can keep on trucking. They have the tax base to do it on a property tax.
Now, as far as you know how this all shakes out when all is said and done. If let's say the teachers end up striking and Monday morning there is no school anywhere in the state, mm-hmm. do you think the teachers have helped their position or hurt their position by doing that?
I think that the teachers have made their point. And it's time for them to get back in the classroom and the parents who count on these schools will be sadly disappointed. And they cannot pressure the legislature. We have pretty hardened attitudes about the strike. But if they continue a strike and it affects the education of our children, those folks are going to be in serious trouble with the electorate. And I really believe that.
And so now where do things stand with your 1 cent proposal? How long will it take for that to be considered?
Right,
and where
sure.
does it go from here?
Okay, right now the legislature and the governor, the House and the Senate and the governor are in heavy negotiations. We agree on the 20%. That's already settled. And we agree that it's going to go into permanent funding, which means it's protected by law that every year it'll get an automatic 2% inflationary effect. That's very important. But it's also important that when these schools get, they've been getting this 2%, they haven't been sharing it with their teachers. This is where the school boards come in so much. So they're getting an automatic 2% every year, and we're putting this money into that funding stream, into the baseline of the budget, so that next year there'll be a 2%. So when they say 20% raise, it's really over 3 years going to be a 26% raise. So school boards better do their job and make sure these teachers get their salaries. And we're doing ours by giving the money to them.
And that was the one thing that, you know, kind of being on the outside looking in, that, you know, the teachers were demanding this 20% raise, and it appeared as though after some initial reluctance, that the governor agreed to it. And so then it was like, well, once you get what you want, you're not supposed to stop selling.
Yeah, right.
And then it became, well, it's not teacher salaries now. It's also money in the classroom and the school nurses and the food workers and everybody
else.
And it's like, so where does this all end?
Well, that's the point. That's why I put this proposal out, to get out in front of it. My proposal was put out on Tuesday before the strike and in writing. And it solves all of these problems. As long as we're reacting as we are now, they're going to keep upping the ante. They know they got us in between a rock and a hard spot, but they can only push so far, especially if they keep on with this strike. That will destroy any goodwill they have with the parents and citizens of this state. So they better go back to work Monday, and they better come down and help us out here in the legislature, because we want to help them. But they can't blackmail us. They can't put a gun to our head and say, hey, give us this and give us that. And by the way, we need more of this and here and there. No, that doesn't work. We're doing the best we can do, and we're maintaining the physical health of our state government. And we're not about to go back to the old days of Janet Napolitano, where we spent more than we ever took in. And then when the crisis hit, we had to cut $3 billion out of our budget. We never want to do that again. And as long as I'm down there, I'll never vote for anything like that.
Representative Noel Campbell joining us live here on Talk of the Town. Keep us up to date on what's going on with the proposal.
I'll definitely do that. Thanks, Stafford, for having me.
Thanks for stopping in. We're now going to head over to Prescott, and Marty Reed is going to join us. She is the Assistant Superintendent for Prescott Schools. Marty, how are you?
Hi, good.
So how did things go today? There was a negotiation, and you guys ended up doing like a snow schedule where you started 2 hours late, and then you're also going to be doing an early release tomorrow. So how's that going?
Well, it went very well. We were able to keep all of our schools open and staff all of our classrooms. We also were able to let some teachers go down to the Capitol and you know, voice their opinion. And it also gave us time this morning to go to the courthouse. I think we had over 600 people there at the courthouse from several schools, not just Prescott Unified, and kind of be able to, you know, show that we're needing some more support for education.
Well, we just finished an interview with Representative Noel Campbell, who is in the process of proposing a 1 cent sales tax for education. But one of the things that he brought up was that the money that has been going to the school districts have included like a 2% inflationary adjustment, and that those monies are somehow not finding their way into teacher salaries. Is that an accurate representation?
That's not an accurate representation for Prescott Unified. We've worked very hard to give teacher raises, and in the last 3 years, teachers have received raises. Last year was 2%. This year, our board voted for a 3% raise, and this is without any additional help from the state. So it kind of depends on each district. They have different needs. You know, it's not just salary budgets that have been cut, but the capital funding that we used to get just to support our buildings and buy textbooks and technology has also been drastically reduced. So it's up to each district how they are able to spend that money. But I can tell you each district is doing what is the very best for their own district.
Tell me a little bit about how the negotiations went between the administration and the teachers, and how you were able to engineer this compromise that made Prescott one of the few school districts that actually was able to remain open today and part of tomorrow.
You know, I really think it was born out of the fact that we recognize in Prescott Unified how supportive our community has been. They helped us to pass a bond and an override. Our service organizations and many groups in the area donate money to the schools. And so we know that our community supports us. It's really at the state level that we're not feeling that support. And so so it kind of it came from that. We knew that it would be hard on families for us to close schools, and we wanted to support our community, but also, you know, show the rest of the state that, hey, things are tough, and I think teachers are tired of being 49th in teacher pay.
Now, I talked to Superintendent Joe Howard on Tuesday, and we talked a little bit about the negotiations. And one of the things that he said was that there were that a lot of the teachers were actually torn between the idea of leaving school as opposed to being there to taking to take care of the kids. And that was a real discrepancy amongst the teachers.
Well, that's true, and some teachers are being accused of not, you know, caring for the kids or not having the kids in mind if they leave their classroom. But the truth is, you know, they're doing this for the kids. Our students need high-quality, well-educated teachers in front of them, and this is really about supporting students. But it does put teachers in a tough spot because they love those kids and they want to be there for them. But they also want to, you know, help make it better for them. And so we tried to come up with a compromise where we could allow a certain percentage of our teachers to take personal time off to go down to the Capitol and still demonstrate. And then those that could stay behind did to help keep those classrooms open.
Well, I think congratulations are in order for you and the district to be able to strike a deal like that and be able to make Prescott, again, one of the few districts in the state that did not close their doors on Thursday and Friday. So so where do we go from here? Is your sense that you think the teachers are going to continue their protest and maybe even walk out in its entirety on Monday? Do you have any idea what to anticipate for Monday?
Boy, you know, I don't know. I would say at first I thought, okay, well, this will happen on Thursday, possibly Friday. But I heard today that the legislature, maybe you can confirm this for me, has already recessed for the entire weekend. And that's a little concerning to me that they're not down there at the Capitol working on a resolution. So if that's true, if they've recessed for the weekend, I don't know what's going to happen on Monday.
Now, however, the legislature did agree on the 20% increase for the teacher salaries. That's already been passed.
Has it? Did that pass today?
It's agreed to.
Yeah.
It was voted on?
No.
Nope, it's not an official vote, but the deal's been struck. So, but again, it seemed, and again, I'm just on the outside looking in, it seemed like the target started becoming kind of a moving target, that when the demand was for teacher salaries, that the governor first was reluctant and then made this 20% overture. And that, to me, seemed like, well, he's addressing the situation as it was presented, and then they're kind of moving the goalposts a little bit, you know, by then saying, well, we also need to talk about, you know, custodians and school nurses and food workers and everything else. And it's like, you know, I personally feel like the schools have been underfunded, but it also seems as though once you get something pretty close to what at least you were set out to do, that the time to oversell kind of ends. And really, then the rest of it can kind of work itself through. But it sounds like the empowerment that took place with regard to the creation of this Red for Ed and so forth has now kind of morphed into something a little more, I don't know, outspoken. I mean, because once you get what you're looking for, isn't that really kind of the goal?
You know, you make some good points, and I'm not really part of the Red for Ed movement, so I'm not aware of exactly everything that they're asking for. I support education, and I support more funding for education, but I wasn't involved in the details of the original demands. But what I had heard is they had several demands, more than just the teacher salary, which Governor Ducey did come forward with a plan for that, and I was pretty excited to hear about that plan and thought that was a great move on the governor's part. But my understanding is they've always had kind of a long list. They want classified also to be supported, and I always thought there was a list of about 10 things that they were looking for. The teacher salaries was a big one, and Governor Ducey did make a proposal for that. But I'm not an expert on the Red for Ed movement enough to really comment on that.
No, and neither am I. I just feel like sometimes you just got to take yes for an answer. once again, Marty Reed, Assistant Superintendent, Prescott School District, thank you for joining us on what has been a very busy day for you. And again, congratulations to the administrative staff at PUSD for having worked out the compromise that kept the schools open today and will do so for part of the day tomorrow as well. Thank you, Marty, for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and thank you to our Prescott community for showing their support for education.
You bet. Marty Reed, Assistant Superintendent, Prescott Unified School District. We're going to take a break for the news, and then when we return, we're going to talk to a former school superintendent who dealt with not only the regular traditional public school issue, but also ran a charter school, and I'm sure that he's got some opinions with regard to what's going on with education funding. Gary Spiker joins us live momentarily here on Talk of the Town. KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and on the web at kqna.com.
The open road is waiting for you at Affinity RV. You get a home with a view.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service Sales and Rentals, and we're proud to be a long-time local business with three locations to serve you. Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69 in Prescott Valley and Dewey, and online all the time at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
Hey y'all, it's Rosie, and we're celebrating 30 years here at Rosie on the House.
We've brought comfort to your outdoor space with evap coolers, misters, and shading. Now let's give you tips on landscaping that area. Sunburst Landscaping will be in to tell you how. And if something needs fixing around the house, give Rosie a call. He'll do his best to help out. Start your weekend with every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Rosie on the House, Saturday morning, 9 to 11 on 95.5, 99.9, and AM 1130, KQNA.
Staying healthy and active is important to you. Don't let varicose veins, spider veins, or non-healing wounds slow you down. They may be a sign of a more serious condition known as chronic venous insufficiency. Symptoms include aching, painful, or fatigued legs, swelling, itching, or cramping, or skin changes. More than 25 million Americans suffer from some sort of venous disorder. The good news is that your options for treatment are more diverse than ever before. The experts at the Vein Center at Yavapai Regional Medical Center in Prescott Valley can help restore leg circulation to improve health, reduce pain, and get you back to your active life. Dr. Anil Kumar, board certified in vascular medicine and the medical director of YRMC's Vein Center, leads a multidisciplinary team that includes experts in wound care, infectious diseases, and diabetes management. Talk to your healthcare provider about the Vein Center at YRMC or call 928-759-5890.
We're KQ&A.
Choices, choices, choices. For those times when the whole crazy bar scene and loud music just aren't what you're looking for, but you're also not looking for a dull and boring family-style chain restaurant dining experience, we say choose tried and true Prescott Brewing Company. Comfort food and great beer. Vegetarian and great beer. Made from scratch, including the beer. Salads and pizzas, burgers and tacos, pulled pork and smoked brisket. There's something for everyone at Prescott Brewing Company. Real food, real beer, real people, and real local.
Your eyes are unique. To show them off, you need the perfect look. At Nationwide Vision, we've been eye care professionals for over 30 years and can help you find the perfect sunglasses to fit your vision needs. Right now, you can get prescription sunglasses starting at just $99. That's fashionable prescription sunglasses starting at just $99. Now also serving you in select JCPenney locations. Call 1-800-EYE-CARE or visit nationwidevision.com to schedule your appointment today. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
The Baleri Professional Building, home to Prescott's premier high-tech business suites, located right in the heart of downtown Prescott. Baleri Business Suites feature high-speed internet, covered parking, and a climate-controlled environment designed for business, medical, legal, and most any general office purpose. New one-year leases available with one additional month free. Call 445-7191 or go to BaleriProfessionalBuilding.com for more information. The Baleri Professional Building, Prescott's business address.
Hi, I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle Brothers. From Gettle's High Desert Mechanical.
Where the long, cool summer is about to start.
In Alaska, maybe, but we're here in Arizona.
Yeah, but if you get a brand new air conditioner from us,
you'll have a long, cool summer. I get it.
And if the listeners get it, they'll save a lot of money right now.
Oh, brother.
That's me.
Save money now on a brand new air conditioning system from Gettle's High Desert Mechanical. Visit GettlesHDM.com or be sure to see Cindy at Costco. Don't settle. Get Gettle's.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
Well, we've had quite a discussion here on this education issue so far. Representative Noel Campbell joined us live for the first part of the show, and then we had Marty Reed, the associate superintendent for the Prescott School District, to give us the report on what took place at PUSD. And now we're going to try to get more of an overall perspective from Gary Spiker, who is the former superintendent of the Humboldt Unified School District, but Gary also had experience running, what was it, Gary, the Buckeye School District?
Yeah, I was out at Liberty School in the Buckeye area and up at Ash Fork.
Right, and then you also ran a charter school, so you've really had kind of run the gamut of educational experience here in Arizona. First of all, I'd like to just get your overall view of what do you think when you see the Red for Ed teachers out in large numbers down at the Capitol and on the main thoroughfares demonstrating for the financial add-ons to education?
Well, I definitely support teachers' pay, and that, you know, we need to do something about that, and I had in a couple districts. I don't know if I support the doing it during the school day. I think they were making a good mark down here with their rallies and being seen, and I saw them out on the streets myself when I was down in Phoenix. But during the school time, it just kind of bothers me. I guess I would have never done that as a teacher. And it's like up in Ash Fork where we had so many kids, you know, the school's 100% free and reduced. And, you know, it would just be a real hardship on the parents, you know, to have it during the day, much less the issues with the seniors. But I definitely support giving teachers a pay raise and helping not only teachers but the other full-time staff.
Now, since you have had the experience of running both charter schools and traditional public schools, what would you say in terms of how you feel that the education takes place in the classroom? Like, it's one thing to say that the teachers are underpaid and they deserve to be, make more than what they're being paid because it's like 48th or 49th in the country. But what about what is actually being taught in the classrooms? Is that something that you have concerns about?
You know, it's interesting. That's a good subject and a deep subject, Sanford. And I guess coming out of Minnesota and Wisconsin and here, I definitely see good teaching going on. Yes, we're low in the state, but you know, we also have other issues that other states don't have. But even, look at just little Ash Fork, 100% free and reduced, 40% minority in English as a second language, 20% special needs kids, and yet they're in the upper 10%. Their base pay, though, we raised it to 37. They have a couple teachers there, one's making 70, one's making 60, some are over 50. We hired great teachers because the pay was a little better. So it doesn't make any difference if they're black, blue, green, yellow, if they have no money or a lot of money. And that's living proof up there that it can work if you have good teachers. And there's good teachers going on there. There's good teachers going on in Prescott. I mean, I do respect them today just doing a couple, you know, a little bit in the morning, not all day. I mean, my daughter's a graduate of Humboldt. She's a veterinarian today. Did she learn what she should have? Yes, I have many kids that still see me as their past principal or superintendent that I run into that are firemen, policemen, a couple doctors. A lot of them got into, a couple own construction companies. Some are into high-tech stuff and computer jobs, an architect. So kids, you know, can do well if they want to. I think sometimes, you know, of course, they get wrapped up in family issues and don't do as well as they should. But I see as good a teaching going on, you know, you're coming out of Minnesota and Wisconsin, a couple of the top in the state, but I see that good a teachers here.
Now, when you ran charter school here in the Prescott area, in Prescott Valley, what was the difference in terms of your ability to manage your people and your costs in a charter school environment as opposed to the traditional school?
Yeah, definitely, you know, where you have local control from schools, I guess I wonder about this. If the state is forced to give raises, what about local control? You know, how does that affect each school and what they're trying to do? I mean, I'm working right now trying to build an indoor arena up in Bullhead. It was their decision to have their football and soccer inside in those real hot days. Where does that control get affected? Yes, I had more control. And, you know, I had a school that was mainly, you know, that was, we had animals, but I also had a lot of kids that weren't doing real well, that had some behavior problems. And, you know, I did have more control over my budget, but yet, it, other districts, I mean, we raised, even at Humboldt, from the lower 25% to the upper 25% in the state for scores. But I also, when we left the district, you know, I left $1 million in surplus. I mean, I think there's things, too, school boards could look at. Do you need maybe two assistant principals? Or could you go maybe where you have, let's say, a high school teacher that's only teaching four classes, or you only need three extra and hire them part-time, but then make that person the assistant principal? Do some schools, does every school need a PR person, or should the superintendent or assistant soup be doing that? I think there are ways of cutting in every individual school. And I think that is going to probably have to be looked at very closely.
Well, I know one of the aspects of the bill that Representative Campbell is working on is that the funding that goes to the state actually is distributed to the school districts, and the districts themselves then determine how that money is distributed. So it is, in essence, local control. But I guess the thing that I'm curious about is, does it always necessarily mean that it's all about pay? Like, what things within the school grounds or within the classroom can this money be allocated to that would have a positive effect on the kids and on education as a whole?
Boy, you know, sometimes it's strange. You know, every district is different in what they need. Let me just even fall back on Ash Fork. Let's say when I went there, their buses were in bad shape. Their fields were in terrible shape. The school was in bad shape. We fixed a lot of that up, and I had students coming up to me and saying, thank you, Mr. Spiker, for making our school and having nice equipment. They felt better. It's kind of like if you feel better about your family or even your car or your house. Sometimes you just feel better at work, and maybe you do better as a student. Well, we saw that there. And I guess, yes, there, you know, besides the safety issues that need to be looked at, you know, in schools, you know, just keeping facilities nice and a nice environment to go to school in, and lighting correct and the coolness correct, it just helps for a good learning environment.
How much do you put what you think would be priority in pure academics, I guess is what I would call it, as opposed to vocational training? Because to me, the economy is always kind of like the arbiter of last resort. And I think there were a lot of years where we were solely focused on pushing kids through school into the university system, and that if you didn't graduate with a bunch of initials next to your name, that you were somehow a failure. But yet now, in this economy, we have a definite shortage of electricians, of plumbers, of heavy equipment operators, carpenters, drywall people, and to the point now where contractors are actually having to raise wages and look for people in other states to try to draw them here, because that's, you know, that's where the jobs are right now. You graduate with a degree in women's studies, and what are you supposed to do with that?
Now, I agree with what you're saying there, Sanford. Look at, again, the districts that are working together that have some great welding programs right now and some great building programs to where they are concentrating on that. Look at even Humboldt. Remember where the contractors came to me and gave us some money and we built a home. Then we sold the home. And then but they were coming out working with the kids on doing concrete work and doing building, and those kids could go out and get jobs. We are at this building we're doing right now in up in Bullhead. There will be a cooking kitchen. We're going to work with those kids and with radio and TV, computers, the cooking kitchen, and because they have Laughlin right there. There's all kind of jobs they can get if they learn housekeeping skills. You know, if they're not going to go to school, they could learn cooking skills because there's so many jobs right there if they don't want to leave the area. And that school is doing that. And I think schools do need to look at their area. I do think we need to work better with our Contractors Association here in our county, and, you know, be working with Sandy and trying to develop something to where we can do things better to get those kids, you know, that could use a hammer, electricians, welders, plumbers. That needs to be done. I have a kid that I had in school not too many years ago. I talked to about 2 weeks ago that finally went back after not doing anything and not getting probably the training in the service he should have had to where he had a skill, and he came out and he's in plumbing school now and loves it and is going to end up with a good job.
Well, I asked this question of Representative Campbell, and I'll put it to you as well as we wind up here. We're talking with Gary Spiker, former school superintendent for Humboldt Unified School District and a number of other districts as well. Do you think that the teachers, by demonstrating the way they are, now that they are supposedly in line to get this 20% increase over the next 3 years, there is it's not voted on, but there is a deal where everybody agrees that this is going to happen, including the governor and the legislature. Do you think that they have overplayed their hand, or that they will have done that if they don't get back in the classroom, say, on Monday morning?
Well, I would hope they're back in the classroom by Monday. And just watching Facebook today and some interesting things on TV, you know, the comments that are coming out, there are, I mean, you know, yes, it said 78% of teachers voted to do it, and there was that. But looking at these comments today, it just started getting more negative and more negative about to get back in school and, you know, take care of our kids in the school and to do a good job teaching them. And I hope they do that, or I do think it could turn negative and do a reverse, because we do have good teachers. Yes, there should be, you know, a pay raise and, you know, to get them somewhere. But, you know, I guess I also knew that when I went to college and I wanted to be a teacher, I knew I wasn't going into a field that was, you know, yes, overly paid. Right. That was my decision. And because I love kids and I wanted to work with behavior problem kids. And, you know, so I hope that, you know, the money gets to the teachers, but I hope there's enough left to do some of the things you're talking about with careers in other fields.
Gary Spiker, thank you for joining us and offering your perspective from your years working in education. We appreciate you joining us live here on Talk of the Town.
Thank you, Cassandra.
All right, Gary Spiker. And we're going to take a quick break. Got a couple of thoughts to share when we get back. We only have a minute to go. This has been the fastest moving talk of the town, I think, in recent years. But there's a lot of stuff going on. And it's all about education right here on Talk of the Town, KQNA AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and on the web at kqna.com.
Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. After a very dry winter, this year's fire season could be more dangerous than normal. As a former hotshot, I'd like to share some tips on being prepared if you have a propane tank. Know how to shut off your propane tank, and in the event of a wildfire, do so, if safe, if you must evacuate your home. Clear a 10-foot area around your tank and remove any combustibles that can easily ignite. And remember, never store your barbecue cylinders indoors or in an enclosed area. You can find more fire preparation safety tips at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
How many Augie's locations are there worldwide? Well, the answer, of course, is one. The one and only Augie's. Locally owned, locally operated, locally inspired by you, the people of the Quad Cities. Delicious steak, scrumptious salmon, huge shrimp cocktail, the best martinis bar none. Open every day for lunch and dinner, and ask about Augie's outdoor patio. The place to dine on Highway 69. The one and only Augie's Frontier Village.
You do your best to protect your loved ones, and while you may keep a fresh battery in your smoke detector and have a reliable home security system, there's a whole different type of protection you may be missing. A life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance is a way to safeguard your loved ones now and in the future. Meet with your local independent agent and secure a policy today to protect theirs tomorrow. Hi, this is Corey Roseman with House Chilson Insurance. We are one of the only locally owned independent insurance agencies in Prescott. Come see us today at 400 Whitespire Road or call 445-4600.
Is your advertising being noticed? Getting the right attention means getting the right business. At A&E Reaper Graphics, we focus not only on customer service, but also highest quality printing and design that is sure to catch the eye. A&E Reaper Graphics knows how to design, print, and deliver what you're looking for in your time frame. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442 9116. That's 442 9116.
Hi, Ken here with the Plants of the Week and our Pink Lady, Mara.
One of the prettiest ladies you'll ever meet. Her flowers are the color of pink lipstick blotted on a white tissue.
Gorgeous and carefree, her knee-high flowers sing in the slightest of mountain breeze and a hummingbird's dream diet, all for $12.
She dresses up the mailbox and loves dryway heat and only found at Waters Garden Center.
1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love ladies in pink, they love to shop.
When you join the Castle Club at Cliff Castle Casino, you get so much more than just a card. You get membership in one of the best casino rewards clubs in Arizona. And new members can swipe to win up to $200 in free play for signing up. You can earn comp meals, lodging, merchandise, concert tickets, and more just for playing. Come experience why Cliff Castle Casino has been voted the number one casino in Arizona for 19 years in a row. Cliff Castle Casino Hotel, the perfect place to play.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And just a couple minutes left. Representative Campbell still here with me. So I guess if this becomes like a stalemate,
right.
That kind of helps you.
Yes,
in
it
a
does.
Way.
The more, if we can't agree, we are agreeing on the amount, the 20%, but we have many, many items in this budget, you know, that are at loggerheads over. And the longer this thing drags out, the more people are going to realize we need more revenue. We can't do everything we want to do. And then when they realize that this could go to the voters, my proposal could go to the voters for a temporary tax, a bridge to education, it makes sense. I mean, so I don't know where we are on this. All I know is that if this doesn't happen pretty quickly, we could be down here in the budgetary process, and the longer that drags out, the better my proposal will look to people, I think.
And, of course, the worst outcome as far as the educators are concerned is if 2020 goes by and that 0.6 cent doesn't get renewed.
Oh, yeah. Well, the 0.6 is already saved.
Okay.
But that's going to be saved. The real question is whether the voters of Arizona want to fund education, and I really want to leave that to the voters. My bridge is a transition 3-year to get this state ready for that major decision that they want to make, and I hope we can do it.
Representative Campbell, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Stanford, for having me.
Busy day today in education. Hope you had a chance to tune in. If not, the podcast will be on the website at kqna.com. A big thank you to Gary. Larry Spiker, as well as Associate Superintendent Marty Reed and Representative Noel Campbell for joining me live on Talk of the Town. The great one, Mark Levin, he's got all the answers, and he's coming up next right here on KQ&A. See you tomorrow for Let's Talk Sport. No, we won't. That's right. The Diamondbacks are on tomorrow. Aren't they playing great? I love the Diamondbacks. Anyway, they'll be on the air tomorrow at 4 o'clock against the Nationals. In the meantime, have a great Thursday, everybody.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Barrett Propane, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, A&E Reaper Graphics, Prescott Dirt, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.